Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. The world needs to hear your message and your story, so don't deny the world of that gift within you that the universe has given you. Someone out there needs to hear your story because it will support them in feeling hope, inspired, and even transformed. Do you want to discover how I help get my clients out of their own way, show up, and confidently share their message? I would love to extend an invitation to you to join me in my free masterclass, Start Your Own Podcast from Idea to Implementation, on Wednesday, April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find the registry link in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Debbie Debonair. She is a stress and anxiety expert, a mental health professional, an author, a speaker, and a soon-to-be wilderness therapist. Welcome, Debbie. It is so great to have you here. It's been a while. We've been trying to get at this and get this done for quite some time. So I am very grateful to finally have the opportunity to sit down and speak with you and have you here with me. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And it's lovely to meet you at last.
It is my pleasure and my honor. So with that being said, let's jump right in. Now, that's a lot of hats and quite the extensive resume you have. It would seem that all of these hats that you wear are very closely tied in together with one another, or there is the common thread here among all of them, which seems to be mental health. How on earth do you find the time for all of this, and how do you prioritize, and how important is prioritization and organization for you?
The main reason I find the time is because I absolutely love what I do. Time isn't actually an issue for me because
you can bend time. You can work time.
I can make it work for me. And I prioritize in a way that works best for me. So first and foremost, I was going to say very early on, but it wasn't really, how to say no, because I was a first-class people pleaser at one time. So I learned to say no, and I focus on what's important at any given time. And then I start with my own needs, and then my clients' needs, then my study needs, which will very soon be coming to an end for now, till I find something else. And the speaking needs and the writing needs, they come kind of. But what I find is that with the experiences I go through and the experiences my clients go through when we're together, they actually help me with the writing and the speaking because we're always creating stories. So I get the content through this. The time isn't actually taken up twice. Prioritizing and organizing is very important, mainly because they keep me focused, but also they give me clarity and therefore allow me to be of the greatest service to others.
Okay, so now you've totally piqued my interest here with your resume. What is a wilderness therapist? And what do you do as a wilderness therapist? And how are you soon to be a wilderness therapist?
Okay, this is actually my description of a wilderness therapist, because there is the generic description of it, but this is how I see it and how I embark on it. And a wilderness therapist is someone who can facilitate a group of people over a period of time through a unique non-medical approach to mental health recovery, and to enjoy, appreciate, respect the wonders of nature, to feel peace and spiritual harmony of who they are, to assist with the growth, personal responsibility, and inner peace and harmony of who they really are right now. It's a journey of self-discovery to build self-esteem and confidence. It also incorporates a range of outdoor activities and experiences depending on the group dynamics, together with the inspiration and essence of the theatrical world. This is my little twist on the norm, in brackets, because I'm combining the two. That's not normally what a wilderness therapist does. And the reason it's soon to be is because I qualify this year.
Ah, lovely. Congratulations.
Fully fledged, but I can actually carry out the therapy now, a wilderness therapeutic practitioner.
Congratulations.
And I actually qualify, I shall become a therapist. I'm so excited.
I'm sure you are. Yes. So what is you said your spin on it, the theater bit. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been in the theatrical world for a long time, many years of my life. Firstly, because from the age of 8 years old, I hid behind the characters I played on stage, and it actually helped me get through a lot of life. But then what I realized was that when I came to do what I'm doing now, I realized that life is very much like the theatre. And I don't want to give too much away because of what I'm going to say at the end.
Okay. All right. No problem.
But basically, it's not about acting or anything like that. It's about someone being comfortable in how they express themselves. Because as you may know, a lot of people who deal with mental health find it very difficult to talk about it. So this gives them avenues to express themselves in different ways. So this is why it's the essence and inspiration of the theatrical world and not putting you on a stage and making you act out your life. So it brings in the different genres of the theatre.
What a beautiful gift. Debbie, what drives, motivates and inspires you to keep going and excelling at all that you do?
I would say what motivates and drives me the most is knowing that I can make a difference in people's lives. And I get the inspiration really because of my passion and my purpose for being on this earth, because I nearly wasn't. And really my why keeps me inspired and motivated every single day, because I want to make a positive difference to at least a million people's lives and change the world's perception of mental health. So that's what keeps me going.
That's important work, and we need to shine a light on mental health. It still gets swept under the rug, and we'll talk about all of that later, but it's just, we do, it needs to shift. Things need to shift around this topic, and we need to advocate and speak about it to shine a light on it.
Definitely.
So can you share with us what you were doing before making the leap into the world of entrepreneurship, and what was the catalyst for that shift for you?
Yeah, just before I kind of embarked on being an entrepreneur, I was in the retail world, and the catalyst was actually my survival of my third attempt at suicide.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that obviously also, I believe, I'm assuming here, was a contributing factor to the work you're doing now around mental health and that specific journey into that world. Can you share a little bit about your own personal story and journey and what you dealt with and what you went through?
Yeah, of course. It actually started way back when I was 8 years old. I was the victim of a bully. And I use the word victim because it was very, very paramount throughout most of my life. I lived in victimhood mode for a long time, until I realized that I was actually, that's how I was living. I didn't know it when I was in it, but so I went through the bullying from when I was 8 years old to 16. At the same time, there was domestic bullying at home, and I kind of jumped out of the frying pan into the fire when I left home and went into the big wild world. And with some of my relationships, I stepped into verbal abuse. It was mental abuse, verbal abuse. There was no physical abuse, but I think sometimes that's worse because it's hidden and nobody knows it. Nobody knows it's around. Nobody knows it's happening.
And those scars stay with you a lot longer. The physical, and this is not to take anything away from anyone who goes through or deals with physical abuse, anything like that, but those cuts and bruises and things heal. And the mental plays a part in that as well, in the physical abuse as well. Those scars take a long time to go away, if they ever do at all.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, and this is why I lived in that victimhood mode for most of my life and lived a life of repeating patterns. I would get over something and then I'd be smacked in the face with the same thing reappearing all of the time. And that's one of the things that I really focus on with people, which I'll go into later, about how you break these patterns, breaking these patterns. And I, as I said, I tried three times to take my own life purely because the verbal abuse and the mental abuse was just so intense. It just drove me down and down and down and down. The language of not being good enough, who the hell did I think I was, get down off your pedestal was said to me at one time. And what was the pinnacle for the third attempt was being told that I wasn't a fit mother. And that broke my heart. And I was diagnosed with clinical depression, which kind of allowed me to give those who had told me that I wasn't good enough and I wouldn't amount to much, that I wouldn't because I had a dysfunctional brain. So they were right all along. And that was kind of the mentality that I was in at the time. So when I nosedived into clinical depression and then was further told that I wasn't going to be a fit mother, when I survived my third attempt at suicide, which I said I should never have come through, but I did for whatever reason. Well, I know the reason now, but I didn't at the time.
Yeah, of course.
I had what I call my oh shit moment, which was I woke up in the middle of the night. And I was lay on top of the bed, very disheveled, and felt something in my hand. And I was holding an empty wine bottle. And at the time, my ex-husband had gone by this time. And I was bringing up my son on my own. And he was asleep in bed in the room next door. And I sat bolt upright, thinking, oh, my God, he could have found me. You know, he just could have walked in at any time at night and saw the state that I was in. I kind of swung my legs around and I faced the bedroom door. And even to this day, I cannot explain what happened next, what it was, but a dream. And it wasn't a dream because I was awake, but an apparition. And it wasn't a ghost because he's real. But in the next instance, my little boy's face was here right in front of me. And it's a long time ago and it still gets me.
Yeah, it's okay. Take your time.
And the look in my little boy's face and the tears running down his face made me realise that my little boy needed me. And that was the pivot that got me to say, my little boy deserves more than this. And that was the start of my journey. It wasn't an easy journey. I did quite a lot, one step forwards and 20 steps back. But
that's part of the journey, though. It's not easy and it's not linear.
No, absolutely not.
So thank you very much for your vulnerability and for sharing that. That means a lot. And I admire your courage and your resilience.
Thank you.
Very powerful. And now look at what you're doing. You're helping other people who are going through similar struggles. And that's a beautiful gift that you're giving to people through your experiences.
And this is why I was saved.
Exactly. How have these experiences helped shape the Debbie you are today, both personally and professionally, would you say?
I've been shaped really through the lessons that I have learned along the way and my unending passion to change or to make a change, should I say. And I've learned that the biggest thing is that I've learned that I am in control of my own emotions and not the other way around. Emotions don't control people. But that's how a lot of people live. And that's how I lived. My emotions controlled me for so long. And that I do have a purpose on the earth. And that was just something that I didn't really know I had one. And a lot of people struggle with that. So that's one of the things that I do help people with, is to find that purpose. And they allowed me to discover my own potential and the possibilities that were open to me. And even now, I don't always see the possibilities, and sometimes the universe kind of thought, well, if she's not listening, I'm going to smack her in the face, and I do sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, well, you're not listening to the subtlety, so I'll make sure that you listen to me. And I think also my confidence soared. I had loads of confidence when I was on the stage, and that was because I was hiding behind a character, and to have my own confidence soar. And now I see fear as something to push me forward and not to hold me back.
I love it. What would you say was the biggest or most valuable takeaway or lesson for you through those experiences?
The most valuable lesson was to listen to my heart and believe in what mattered to me and not what others wanted me to believe so that they could keep me down and in the dark. So I think that was probably the biggest lesson.
Could you delve into and share some of the core aspects of stress and anxiety and how your expertise helps individuals navigate these challenges on a deeper level?
Yeah, I think when the way I kind of talk about stress and anxiety with people so that they can really put it into perspective, even when they're in the thick of it, is that stress comes from worrying about something that's happened before. So whether it was even yesterday or the day before or 10 years ago, okay, you're stressed about it. Where anxiety comes from worrying about the future, about what might happen as opposed to potentially what will happen. So that's kind of how, because a lot of people think stress and anxiety are the same thing, but they give you different things. And it's about taking people on the journey to discover where their stress and anxiety comes from, where it actually belongs, and how they can alleviate it through understanding that they are the one that is in control of those two emotions. When they understand where it's coming from, it makes it, I wouldn't say easier or easy, but it gives them a better understanding, because we delve deep in getting them to understand where it comes from. Because a lot of people see things very much on the surface. I'm stressed today because, and they'll pick something very much on the surface. But what's happening is the stress is coming from what I mentioned earlier about the repeating life patterns. Because when we talk about repeating life patterns, they realize that, oh my God, yeah, that happened at that point in my life. And it happened again in that point in my life. And oh my God, yeah, I'm still going through it today. How can I stop it? And it's then when we go into, because we need to know the cause and we need to know the true cause. So I do kind of
get to the root of it.
Yeah, I do dig deep. I'm a very, one of my clients says, I've never known anyone ask so many questions.
Well, that's how you get to the core of it.
Exactly. And I say, I may ask a lot of questions, but I'm asking a question about the answer that you've given me. And by asking a question about the answer you've given me, I can go down and down and down until you've got no more answers. Because when you've got no more answers, you're at the core of the problem, or the core of the cause of the stress. So that's how I get people to understand, because they need to know where they're starting from before they can move forward to where they want to be.
For sure. You
know, where a lot of people with stress and anxiety want rid of it now, this minute, get it out of the way.
It doesn't work. But like
unfortunately,
that.
It does. I mean, if I could wave a magic wand, I would. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And
we have to have a starting point.
For sure. Now, stress is multifaceted. How do you approach stress reduction holistically, considering both mental and physical well-being in your practice?
I use something called heart brain coherence. I don't know whether you've heard of that before or not. Heart brain coherence is what happened, and how I came across this was when I was told I had clinical depression, nobody could explain to me what it was other than it was an imbalance of chemicals in the brain. Okay. And I said, but what does that mean? And nobody could explain to me what it meant. So I went on my own kind of research journey to find out what it meant. And it was to do with the relationship between the brain and the heart, and how the messages that they send to each other affects the chemical imbalance in your brain. And the fact that the heart sends more messages to the brain than the brain sends to the heart was quite a revelation for me. But I use that because what it does when you do the heart-brain coherence, it helps to get a better balance in your heart rate variable, which is the space between the heartbeats. It gives you, where you see in the hospital where it goes up and down like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're having a panic attack or an anxiety attack, it goes like this. In your heart, you have no space in between. So heart-brain coherence helps you to spread it so that you've got the gaps in between through heart focus, breathe and breath work as well, because it kind of calms it down. And there's different parts of heart focus breathing as well. But what it also does is I work with the autonomic nervous system, because that plays a massive role in how we feel physically and emotionally. And through the effects of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic systems, it's about having a balance, because if you're too much in the sympathetic nervous system, this is where you are having the panic attacks, where you get the shakes and everything's out of balance and you have the palpitations and you can't breathe properly, okay? Then in the parasympathetic, if you spend too much time in the parasympathetic, that's where depression comes in, because you've kind of dragged yourself so far down. So it's getting that balance, and it's about the vibrational energy of the emotions that you're feeling. So when you are in the sympathetic zone, you've got the chemical cortisol kicking in there, which is your stress hormone. Okay. So if you've got the stress hormone and you've got the sympathetic zone going on, it's like the person on the roller coaster ride who is gripping the handle with white knuckles, absolutely terrified. You can be in the sympathetic zone, but have the hormone, the DHEA, the hormone, which is your happy hormone or happy chemical, in place. And that would be the person on the roller coaster who's got their arms in the air screaming and smiling and shouting. So that's the two differences when it's about getting the balance between the two. Because what happens is if you have too much of the sympathetic, it has an adverse effect on your physiology. So for example, a lot of people who deal with stress, and I believe it's where the term carrying the weight on your shoulders comes from, they tend to walk kind of hunched over. And what that's doing is a lot of people who deal with stress also deal with a bad back, because your spine was made and constructed to be upright. If you're going to walk around and hold it like this all the time, you're going to have some effect on the base of your spine. Yeah. So that's how the parasympathetic and the sympathetic and the autonomic nervous system has an effect both on your physiology and your psychology.
Okay.
Beautiful. In a kind of roundabout kind of little nutshell. A bit more in depth than that, but that's in a little nutshell.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I've heard people say that work in the mental health world, that this work has chosen them as opposed to them choosing this field of work. Do you feel that same way, and why so, if you do?
Yes, I do. And I think it's purely because of what I went through in my own life. And the lessons I needed to go through brought me, like you said before, where I am today. So to me, I went through all of those lessons because somebody up there had a plan for me. But I had to go to the nth degree in order to realize what I was meant to be doing.
I'm curious then, through your career and the work you've been doing in the mental health world, have you seen a notable shift in mental health being brought to the forefront and a light shone upon it, or getting more exposure for the issues since you first started as to where you are now?
Yeah, but what I would start with is, what is a shift in mental health? Is it how it's perceived? Is it how it's being cared for? There's definitely more exposure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, but not always in a good way, which I think has an adverse effect on the whole point of what they're trying to do. Certainly more in the forefront, but I believe more action is needed to be taken, more resources given to what is often seen as a hidden disease, because you can see what happens to you physically.
Yeah.
But what I've found in my line of work is that, for example, someone can be referred by a GP for counselling or therapy or other interventions or different types of treatment. But it's given a 6-week duration or a 12-week duration. Now, many people dealing with mental health challenges, it took them a lifetime to be where they are. So how can 6 or even 12 weeks get them to where they want to be?
Impossible.
It took me 6 years.
From
my oh shit moment to my light at the end of the tunnel was 6 years. And this is the reason I do what I do today, because I don't want it to take people that length of time. And I know it can't be done in 6 weeks and 12 weeks, but it doesn't need to take 6 years. And it can be seen as a disease that's not actually curable. And it's because we'll always have mental health. It's how we deal with what life brings us that makes the difference.
So what do you think is one of the biggest roadblocks or hurdles that are preventing us from shining a brighter light on it and getting more assistance and awareness?
In my opinion, it needs to have the stigma removed by making it a more accessible topic of conversation. And I know we've made huge inroads into this, but it's still something that needs to be discussed and not discussed behind closed doors.
So conversation.
Yeah.
Conversations like this right here.
Yeah. Or discussed as something unclean. No, mental health needs to be discussed the same way in which we discuss physical health.
For sure.
You know,
the two are intertwined.
Yeah, and it needs to be spoken about more freely and open with no hidden agenda.
No shame.
No shame. Because what's happening is it gets talked about to the nth degree, but we don't do an nth degree of action. And that's what needs to change.
Yeah, for sure. Now, of course, lifestyle choices play a role in mental health. Can you share some insights into how lifestyle changes, including diet and exercise, can positively affect stress and anxiety?
Yeah. So when we talk about lifestyle, people think we have to either go from lower class to first class or whatever. But lifestyle is very subjective. But whatever lifestyle you have, it has the same ingredients, shall we call them. So it has diet, it has exercise, it has environment, which is a massive thing. And I don't mean about the place you're living in or the district you live in. It's about your environment, where you sat at that moment, what's around you, who's around you that's keeping you down.
As we just said, physical and mental health are very intertwined and interwoven with one another. How do you educate your clients on the connection between physical well-being and mental resilience?
Again, through the Heart Brain Coherent, it's a huge thing that I work with, as well as I do a lot of breath work, and I'm a trained mindfulness meditation teacher. So it's because whatever is happening in your body and in your mind is dependent on your thoughts, your feelings or emotions, and your actions. And also language. Language is a huge thing that keeps you stuck.
Yeah, for sure. The way we speak to ourselves, we speak horribly to ourselves. And you hear people saying these things and you think, would you ever speak to your best friend like that? Would you speak to your mother like that? No, of course you wouldn't. No. So why do we do it to ourselves?
I know.
We are our own worst enemies.
We are. And I actually did a bit of an experiment on myself. I set a tape recorder going one morning. And I just went with my day like I normally would. And on the night time, I sat down and I rewound it and I played it back. Mm. And goodness me, I was appalled at how I spoke to myself. Absolutely appalled.
That's a very interesting exercise.
Mm. Yeah.
I think people should do that.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, we say, oh, but I don't talk to myself like that. Or, oh, I don't say things like that. Do the exercise and you'll be really surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that a lot of people will be very surprised at what they hear when they listen back to that recording.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is.
That's a powerful experiment.
Yeah. But what it gave me was a lot of self-awareness. Now I actually can catch myself and I'll ask myself the question, why are you saying that today? What's making you say that today?
Yeah. You know? Well, that just proves that you've done the work and that you're still doing the work, because the work is never finished. We're always working, but you have put in the work and you are continuing to do the work, which brings about that self-awareness, which is very important. Absolutely. I love that exercise. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, I want to speak a little bit about your authorship, your journey into becoming an author. As mentioned, you are an author. I would love for you to speak a little bit about the book that you wrote. Can you tell us the title, the subject matter, and what that experience was like for you, putting that down on paper and sharing that with the world?
Yeah. The actual book is called Alive to Thrive, Life After Failing Suicide, Our Stories. And it came to me in a dream about 9 years ago, where I would bring together myself and 9 other women to share their stories of how they overcame suicide and are now thriving in life. To say it was a roller coaster ride was a bit of an understatement for many, but it was also very, what's the word I'm looking for? A very self-discovery and empowering, very empowering, but also a self-discovery lesson for a lot of us. And one author in particular, she said that it really helped her to visit things that she hadn't visited before, but had to visit in order to write her chapter. But it was actually very powerful for her.
Healing and cathartic, I would imagine, for all of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was going to walk away from it on several occasions because, I wasn't just writing my own chapter, but I was holding space for 9 other women.
And it was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah, and all, a huge amount. Yeah. And I had actually written a book 3 years prior to that. That still isn't published, but it's written. But because this kind of came alive, pardon the pun, that kind of went on the back burner.
Time to bring that back into
life. Yeah, yeah. So, but actually since then, I've written 4 more.
Wow, that's incredible.
But they kind of just need looked at and edited.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Kind of tweaked and things. But the power of this book is to show that suicide is not the answer. And I can only say that because I survived it. Had I not survived it, I couldn't say it.
No, of course. And your lived experience.
Yeah. And had I not survived it, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today, which is making that impact on bringing the statistics of mental health and suicide down. That is just a passion, a big passion of mine, to bring those statistics down.
Well, it's a very important work and you're doing it. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Because it's needed. It's very needed in this world. And we need more people doing that. And again, it starts by having these conversations, by shedding a light on it and talking about it. So we can all do our part.
That's it. And also it's about the powers that be recognizing people who have had the experience potentially have more authority to guide another person than someone who is trained behind a textbook.
Yes,
I'm not taking anything away from that.
No, you're right, though, because lived experience.
Yeah, but it's not always recognized when you are approaching certain organizations in society.
For sure.
Have to have letters after your name or...
Yeah, alphabet soup, as my wife calls it.
Yeah, exactly. And alphabet soup...
Does it even
nourish you, never mind anything else?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And yeah, I've got letters after my name, but I don't use them. Nobody knows I've got them because I don't broadcast them because they don't... That only means something on paper. They don't mean anything when you're talking to someone in front of you who is dealing with whatever they're dealing with in that moment.
For sure, for sure. Who in your life, Debbie, has had the biggest impact on you and why?
Well, this probably won't come as a surprise, but my son. Mainly because after my Your Shit moment and every day since then, because he's the most important and precious gift that's, you know, alive. Everything I do is because of him.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that's helped you become successful?
I would say the main one is resilience, followed closely by grit and determination. Yeah. Or courage and determination. I would say they're the three superpowers.
Love it. Now, speaking of success, how do you define that word? What does the word success mean to you?
I would define success for me by each person I guide who has changed their life for the better, obviously.
Yeah, of course. What is one of the most important things you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before you learned it? And what was your life like after learning it?
The biggest thing is that I am in control of me. Before then, I was controlled by as many people as I allowed to control me. And since then, I'm free. I've got freedom to choose what I do with my life.
We all have that. We all have a choice.
Yeah.
And I think the other bit is to remember that the only thing that we do have control over in this world is ourselves and our emotions, our reactions to situations. That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
But that's a hard lesson. Hard to get to that place where you realize and have the self-awareness around that because you can't control people. You can't control how they react, what they're going to say, what they're going to do. You can only control all of those things within you.
Exactly.
And that's a very important lesson to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many people who deal with stress and anxiety are wasting a lot of their energy on what other people think and do.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the thing is, there are so many things in life that are totally out of our control that we waste so much energy on that if we didn't, we'd actually be able to be more in control of ourselves.
For sure. What does the word empowerment mean to you?
To me, it means having the strength and the confidence to make my own decisions. I always ask permission if I could make this decision. And having that aha moment where actually I have empowered myself and I've now got the strength and the confidence to make my own decisions, right? You're wrongly, but you know, you learn from the wrong decisions anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to make a few wrong ones to keep on learning.
For sure. Failures, wrong decisions, this is how we learn.
Yeah.
Failure is our friend.
Yeah.
That's how we learn.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We're
going to jump into a little rapid fire section here. So the next grouping of questions is be 1, 2, 3, 4 word answer type thing, okay?
Okay, yeah.
How would you describe yourself in one word?
Altruistic.
If you could teach the world one thing, what would it be?
More kindness for self and others.
If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Creating a movement that changed at least 1 million lives and made a difference in the world.
If you had a theme song that played every time you walked into a room, what song would it be?
I've got two. Okay. The Flight Song by Rachel Patton, and This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. This is me, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I'm here. What is one thing you love about yourself that is not related to your physical appearance?
My sense of humor.
If you came with a warning label, what would yours say?
Watch out, the hidden adventurer hides no more and she's taking the world by storm.
That concludes our rapid fire section. I threw in a little surprise question for you. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why?
Purple came to me straight away, okay. The color purple. Okay. And I think it's because purple means so much to me that I see purple as a color of love. And it's closely followed by green because green is the color of the heart.
Beautiful. Excellent. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
Debbie, if you could set up a billboard anywhere in the world, where would you put it and what would it say?
I would put it on top of the highest theatre in the world, wherever that may be. I have no idea where it is, but the one that's the highest to be seen. And it would say, step onto your life stage every day and shine in your spotlight because you deserve it.
Ah, beautiful. I love that. What is one lesson your career has taught you that you think everybody should learn at some point in their life?
To stand up for what you believe in.
If you could step into my shoes, what question would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
What is your biggest achievement so far?
Go ahead.
I've got three. I actually, at the age of 47, got a first class honours degree.
Congratulations.
I raised £3,500 for a children's disability charity by doing a 12-day trek across the Inca Trail.
Wow.
Despite damaging my leg on the first day, which ended up with me having a complete replacement hip operation.
Holy shit.
3 years later. It's an achievement.
Yes.
I'm a bionic woman now. I've got titanium in my leg.
Oh, there you go.
And the third one was to actually step into the entrepreneurial world.
That's a big one for sure, because entrepreneurship is a fucking hard journey.
Yeah.
It tests you, stretches you, pushes you in ways you didn't even know possible.
Exactly. I mean, if entrepreneurship was a workout, we'd all be fit.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I agree with you 100%. If you had the opportunity to sit down and have a 1 hour conversation with one woman, any woman in the world, who would it be and why?
Does it matter if she's dead? Princess Diana.
And why?
She was the most beautiful soul on the earth. I never met her, but I had an affinity with her. I just resonated with everything that she did. And she was a gift to us, and she was stolen too quickly.
She was a beautiful soul. She did so much incredible work in the world.
Yeah. If I could just have 1% of that, I would know that I've...
Well, you're doing your part. You are. Yeah. You're doing the work. If you could go back, Debbie, and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Stand up for yourself. You have a right to own your voice.
We all have a voice and we all need to share it. It needs to be heard.
Absolutely.
Because we all have something of value to share.
We do.
And speak out into the world.
We do. And so many people are stopped.
Yeah, they stay silent.
Either stay silent or they're made to stay silent.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Stand up and shout.
Yeah. It's such an injustice. Yeah, just shout.
Yeah. Lastly, Debbie, if you were to deliver your last 30-second speech to the world, your tribe, your corner of the world, your people, what would that last 30 seconds sound like? What words of wisdom would you impart?
You step out every day onto your own life stage. You can go stage left. You can go stage right. You can even fall off the stage. But the power is getting back up again and again. Every day is a scene in your life. Every person you meet is a character in your life. You are the director, producer, and scriptwriter of your life. And at any given moment, you can rewrite your life script to live the life you desire and deserve. Every day, step out as your own leading lady or man and shine in your spotlight where you belong.
Beautifully said, and what an incredible analogy and way to end the interview. Debbie, thank you so much for taking and making the time to be here with me today and for your vulnerability, for sharing your story, for your resilience, your courage. I appreciate you, and I am so grateful to be connected to you and to have you as a member of the Empowerography community. Thank you for making and taking the time to be here with me today.
Thank you so much, Brad, for allowing me to just share what I'm so passionate about. It's been an honor and a privilege for me to be part of, and it's an honor to be part of the Empowerography group as well.
It is my pleasure and my honor. Debbie, could you share with the audience where they can learn more about you, connect with you if they wanted to? I mean, we'll put all the stuff in the show notes, but I would love for you to share that.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm debbiedebonair.me. I'm on LinkedIn as Debbie Debonair. I'm on Instagram as Heart Act Approach. My website is actually under a little bit of New Year refurb. They may go in at the www.heartact.co.uk, but they may not see anything as yet because it's going over a bit of a revamp. Yeah. It's just to bring in all the wilderness stuff into it because that wasn't in before. And my email address is debbie@heartact.co.uk.
Beautiful. Thank you, Debbie. Once again, my name is Brad Walsh, host of your Empowerography podcast. Today, my guest has been Debbie Debonair. She is a stress and anxiety expert, a mental health professional, an author, a speaker, and a soon-to-be wilderness therapist. Thank you so much, Debbie. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day.
You too, Brad. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at visiophoria.ca, follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast, and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.